If I get my kid a phone, I'll be able to keep in touch with him all the time.
He'll be on it all the time.
Could walk to school by himself.
She could see something she shouldn't.
He could chat with grandma.
Friends. Trolls.
They can access anything on the internet.
They can access anything on the internet.
So, should I give my kid a phone?
Growing up with phones isn't always easy. Introducing EE Safer Sims. Sims that help moderate usage and shield harmful content on any smartphone. Choose EE Safer Sims. Only on the UK's best network.
To verify best network, see ee.co.uk/claims.
I spent all night on this presentation and it still looks so boring.
Try Adobe Express. It's fast with templates and AI features for stunning presentations, flyers and socials.
Nice. Where do I start?
You can get it for free in your app store.
Adobe Express, the quick and easy create anything app. Free.
Let me bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! Don't forget Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
What's up, people? It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bill Dawes, one of my favorite people in the world. Great guy, great comic.
Aw, so nice. I like it when I'm the only one here that you have to say that.
No, it's true. You are one of my, I do love you. I feel like I don't know you sometimes. And I have so many questions as to how you get by training once a year.
Oh yeah, I'm like that guy Moneyberg. Do you know about the whole Moneyberg thing?
I just saw the Sean Strickland going off on. Is his name really Moneyberg, first of all? Like, or are they just?
I know. You want to make more stereotypes about the Jews. A guy named Moneyberg who paid for his black belt. I mean, the idea is basically like he just paid Jake Shields and a lot of people a ton of money for private lessons to get a black belt. And let me say this. I don't want to like.
Let me tell you, if Derek Moneyberg want to come to fucking golf with Mayhem, if Derek Moneyberg want to pull up with $28,000 cash in a Louis Vuitton satchel, and I ain't talking about the old school one, talk about the new backpack kind digital. If you want to pull up with $75,000, hey, if you want to pull up with $125,000, you can tell Derek Moneyberg to suck my dick.
First of all, Mayhem, you're sideways. First of all, you're sideways. So no problem.
My whole life I've been sideways. I was born sideways.
Second of all, you never recovered. It's the first time I've ever seen you with pecs. I don't think
you look great, man.
I don't even think you had pecs in the UFC. Did you?
Yeah. Definitely
that
when you fought
hey.
Renzo Gracie, Jesus.
Hey, bro, if Mayhem with the pecs would come out and give you a noogie back then, bro. Are you kidding me?
No, but so, Bill, what is the story with Moneyberg? What happened here?
Well, I will just say this. I've been training recently a lot with a lot of Hegan Machado's guys. Hegan's great. But, like, they're a bunch of, like, Hollywood guys, right?
Yeah.
And, like, actually, hey, by the way, guys, black belt.
If Derek Moneyberg pulls up with $150,000, I'll give him a black belt stripe.
So yeah. He's the guy that basically, I mean, is he paying for private lessons?
They never really roll with people unless it's like heavily, heavily curated. So it's kind of like, unless you're like fed to the wolves, I don't think you really deserve it.
Let me tell you though, I'm just fucking around about Derek Moneyberg, a smart guy who's very athletic. Can get to a high level of jiu-jitsu in a short amount of time. Like Derek Moneyberg probably knows some jiu-jitsu and probably pretty strong and probably knows a bit about the sport. Or nobody, Jake Shields ain't giving him a black belt for no damn reason. Hey, I have a student that's standing right here, right now. This is a smart dude that learned so fucking quick that I'm going to pass him to blue belt.
Well, first of all, is he Jewish? If he's Jewish.
Come on, his name's Moneyberg.
So he's Jewish and Jake Shields is giving him a black belt? I mean, there's so many.
But it's funny about that. Actually, I heard it got leaked about their text messages. And Jake Shields got paid $6 million.
What?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he said it wasn't enough.
He's doing a Holocaust joke. But
oh, which, God. Like, God damn it, Mayhem.
Which is actually like... That joke is the actual quickness of it. So rather than this devolving into the Holocaust, but I'm saying, so Jake Berg took money from a guy, Jake Shield, Jake Berg, from a guy named Money, from a guy named Money Berg to advance to Black Belt.
Shields, bro, Jake Berg.
So Jake.
Wait, like BJ Penn got his black belt in 3.5 years and he was a prodigy.
Yeah.
Money Berg got his in 3.5 years. I mean, come on. And he's
Are you following, Sean McCorkle, are you following this whole Money Berg story?
No, I thought that was your nickname, though. I thought we were talking about you.
So basically, I became aware of it because Sean Strickland made a video where he confronted this guy saying he's exploiting fighters, that he says he's buying into he's supposed to be like sponsoring fighters but taking money from them, blah, 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 blah. Moneyberg, right? Going off and then getting in Moneyberg's face. Moneyberg was basically just like, get out of, why are you recording this, blah, blah, blah. So then it became like, Moneyberg became this thick guy who I guess goes around paying people to become a black belt and just buying his way into jiu-jitsu legacy kind of a thing. And that's pissing a lot of people off. Am I right?
So yes. He is Jewish.
Well, we don't know if he's Jewish, why his name is Moneyberg.
We don't know if he's Jewish, but let's look at the facts here, okay? Right. He infiltrated high society with money, right? And figured out his way in it. Everybody's mad all the time at him. Sounds Jewish to me.
So we don't know any, really don't know that much of it. But basically, Bill, you've rolled with guys like, right? Like the guy from Ashton Kutcher, or have you rolled with someone?
I'm just saying, a lot of these guys, and I'm not shitting on Higa Machado, he's a great guy, but a lot of the black belts under Higa Machado, a lot of these Hollywood guys, they never actually have to roll with a lot of people to get their black belt. And I think at the end of the day, that's where the rubber meets the road. Like John Donahue just said that in this interview with Moneyberg. He was like, basically like, he goes, if you were getting submitted by purple and brown belts all the time and you're black belt, maybe you didn't deserve it. And this guy doesn't even know because he never really rolled to get his black belt.
Really? Look, I think to have your black belt, you have to at some point in your life, okay, have a clock choke pressed over your nose and like be smothered to death.
I agree. Yeah.
Fight out of the piano wire across your teeth and you forgot your mouthpiece at home that class.
Yes.
That is the official indoctrination.
You need one good injury.
I like college wrestling so much better, or like, because to be a college wrestler, to be like a Division I college wrestler, you're a Division I college wrestler. Yeah, there's different levels. But if you're an All-American, you're an All-American. Like, you didn't, no one gave you a pass into the NCAA. Well, and I just feel like it's more.
That's oranges, bud. The martial arts culture has a different kind of testing ground and different, you know, mentality. And look, you can argue that traditional martial arts are garbage and their system is whatever, and they hand out black belts to people who just know, you know what I mean, know some wacky moves. But jiu-jitsu is this thing where, okay, so maybe Moneyberg knows all the moves, knows all the concepts. He's not the best athlete in the world, but what are you going to do? You're going to not acknowledge his knowledge.
I feel like it's more subjective, whereas like,
I'll give him a black belt test, and I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah.
But there's no video of him rolling. That's what's weird. There's not one video of him rolling.
Now, back to what you were saying about Higan and them. Look, the concept of a competition gym is different than a martial arts gym. Competition is what we have. Mixed martial arts, we have Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournaments. We have all these things to be like, to testing ground for whose techniques work the best. We know the techniques work the best. Every gym doesn't have to be a break your neck kind of a sparring session place. You can learn all the moves, be excellent and be within your skin and know the skill of jiu-jitsu without necessarily being a competition black belt. And this is from somebody who's been a competition black belt.
Now, Sean, yes. Was Tim Sylvia the best guy you ever trained with?
No, not even close. Sorry, Tim. The best I ever trained with, a guy named John Menke out of St. Louis submitted me about 3 times a minute, and he was 185 pounds. He was the best dude I ever rolled with.
What happened to him?
I don't know. I think he's still around. He looked like Jesus if he did jiu-jitsu. So it was he actually did look like Jesus. But no, he submitted me. When I was in UFC, he submitted me really quick, and he was a smaller dude. Yeah, he was probably the best I ever rolled with. Then the best I ever sparred with was a pro boxer named Carvin Matafu, I think, out of Indianapolis. He was an 8-0 pro heavyweight. And I literally not only could not touch him, he could do whatever he wanted to me. And I could not, like, not anything. I couldn't get close within a foot of him if he didn't want. It was terrible.
Well, but the best all-around fighter was the guy that threw you and Mitrione around, right? What's his name?
Oh, Tom Erickson. Yeah, Tom Erickson would have beat us all up. Yeah, at the same time. That was, yeah, he's the best. Yeah, as far as fighter, he'd be the best fighter I ever trained with.
That's Tom Erickson has the dopest old-school Instagram, bro. He has these sparring drills and shit they were doing a long time ago. That guy's ahead of his time. He was really, like, on the cutting edge of martial arts technology, bro. Even
but I said Tim Sylvia because he was the actual UFC champion.
He was, yeah. Tim Sylvia, bro, that guy is a badass. Like, such a specimen of a man and such a strange body type and so weird strength. You know,
and no disrespect to Tim, because I actually love Tim Sylvia, but you think he's the most unathletic UFC champion that ever made?
No, because I mean, look, big guys have a weird dynamic, the same as little guys. Little guys, like, don't agree with the laws of physics and, like, don't have to abide by gravity. Why opposite is heavy? Opposite is true with heavyweights, where heavyweights have this, you can be very strong punching machine in a certain way where your legs look like Bambi on ice, but you can still connect with one of those and bash the guy. That's Tim Sylvia in a nutshell, and most of Sean McCorkle's career.
No, Sylvia, dude, for as much shit as he takes, he was way better than you would think.
Yeah.
Like, first stand up or whatever. Like, people would say he's awkward or whatever, but he would he'd knock people out, man. It's hard. So
okay, I'll do my
champion. I mean, the guy was the champ of the UFC.
Well, speaking of black belts, Tim, I mean, Frank Mir got his black belt when he broke Tim Sylvia's arm. Like, literally after he won, his professor came in through the black. So that's the difference between him and Moneyberg.
We go back to money. You're so mad about Moneyberg. This is like on your mind because you mentioned this. I never would have mentioned Moneyberg
because I really want to fuck up Ashton Kutcher. That's why.
Really?
No, I can't get the sound on my head. You guys probably won't get it, but you know how Bill Goldberg, the crowd would cheer Goldberg, and he would spear people. I feel like Moneyberg gets speared at the end of his dick, just like Bill, and that's how he's Jewish. I don't know.
Oh my god.
So anyway, a couple things. I had a show last night. It was like a private show, and I thought I was being like, it was one of those like Nigerian scams because the guy gave me a deposit like a year and a half ago for the show. He's like, oh, I just like to book early, and I'm like, something's weird about this, and he gave me no info. But the show, I drive out to Pelican Hill Country Club, it was Newport Beach. Beautiful. I go to the wrong club. First, I go to the wrong party. I think it's all a bunch of farmers. So I'm ready to perform in front of a bunch of farmers who are just looking at me like, who is this guy? And then someone's like, oh no, it's another party. So I go to this party. It's the guy's 65th birthday party. He's like drunk out of his mind, maybe on, I don't know what he's on, like mushrooms or something. There's about 100 people there. And before I go on, he decides to roast every single person. Not really roast, just let everyone know how he met them. He's like, oh, this guy had the biggest dick in the fourth grade. And this guy, blah, blah, blah. And I used to cheat off this girl. And I was trying to fuck this girl in ninth grade. Dude, and then, like, it's all, like, this guy has, like, his own private jet. Super multi-millionaire, like, a veterinarian company that, like, I don't even know what he does. All the women are just fucking smoke shows. But they all look like the Real Housewives, which, you know, with the lips and the, like, some of them, I'm like, you'd be laughing if I could tell, you know. And then I just go up there and just, he's like, make fun of me and everybody here. So I was like, dude, no problem. And it was a fucking slaughter fest. It was, I felt really good afterwards. So that was,
I'm not going to invite
Adam left out the part where he said the guy had the biggest dick in the fourth grade.
I can't get it. On a roast the rich people, you son of a bitch! I'm putting this on you.
Mayhem is taking over Don's Wi-Fi, I think.
And then last week, dude. But then Sunday I had a show where this girl books me, and this girl books me, but she's like a model, but made like a Borat kind of movie. But I don't know if anyone's ever seen this movie, but she's very nice. She's always dressed up like Marilyn Monroe, and she has like a red carpet show. There are all these models there for like no reason. They're having a model show after.
Oh, what's her name? I think I know you're talking about.
Brooke something. The guy from Borat was there, like the old guy that was naked. He was in the crowd for some reason with like.
Yeah, the fat guy.
Yeah, the fat guy from Borat, who was not laughing at anything I said, by the way. And I went on like before the show started. They just announced me. I got my daughter with me. So I have to like find my dad on the way to the place. I'm like, help my dad. It was just. Dude, it was a shit show, but it was fun. It was fun, but it was just one of those shows where I'm like, there's like there's a red carpet. I don't know why I'm doing a red carpet. I don't know what the charity was for. I don't know why I was there. It was just, it was just one of those things, dude. That was crazy. And then I had a near-death experience the other night, which I don't know if I want to talk about that on the show because I don't want people being concerned about
it. What? What happened?
Dude, so you know how like I take sometimes I can't sleep, so I'll take like an Ambien or two, right?
What happened, Adam?
One. Well, sometimes I can't sleep, right? Yeah. So I'll take an Ambien, right? And so I just switched over from my insurance company to Kaiser. I don't know if you've ever switched insurance companies. They make it so hard. They make the healthcare so hard to get pills that you're already taking, right? So my antidepressants and whatever. So there's like a lapse, and I first have to call a doctor who then says I can't prescribe this, but I'll give you this instead. And then they're like, you got to get an evaluation, even though I got an evaluation, to another doctor who I talk to then someone else. Then 3 minutes after I talk to the doctor, I get a phone call from the Kaiser saying, hey, the doctor you just talked to got fired just now, so she's not working there anymore. This is literally 3 seconds after I just talked to the person. I'm like, okay. So then I'm like, listen, I'm going to be running out of pills to go to sleep. I take an Ambien. I'm going to be running out. Like, I'm not going to have, maybe you want to go to urgent care or just like, come on. Like, so I didn't have some. So my dad came from New York. And I'm like, my dad has it. I'm like, dad, if you can give me an extra Ambien when you're here, because I have one day till I get new. So my dad comes. So Friday night, I can't sleep. I have a great set in Long Beach. I'm on a fucking high. It's late. So I take an Ambien, and I fucking can't sleep. So then I take another one. Dude, and then my wife, I end up downstairs eating all, like a bucket of ice cream. Like I have, it's like this bunch of like ice cream, right? So my wife comes downstairs like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. Next thing I know, I don't remember any of this. I'm dancing downstairs. Like, I'm just doing, like, dancing. So then she's like, let's go upstairs. I almost fall down the stairs. I lay down. I start talking in, like, a monotone, like, listen, I think you'll be happier without me, and I love you.
Well, at least you were saying something that made sense.
I'm like, I can't be there with you for all the time. And then all of a sudden, I go downstairs. I start talking to Grok. I start asking Grok, how funny am I as a comedian? I go, how funny? And then I start sending pictures of my wife to Grok going, how hot is my wife, right? So she comes down, so she sees my phone and she's like, why are you showing Grok how, which was nice, you know? So then I start going upstairs and I'm like, then I start sleeping with my eyes open. So Bree's worried that like my eyes are just wide open while I'm sleeping, right? So then she wakes up my dad who's staying with us. So he comes in and he's like, oh shit, right? Oh shit. So then he starts asking me questions from like 80s baseball cards. Like, okay, who was the guy that ran into, Shea Stadium? Because my dad bought like 500 Ron Jones cards when he was a kid because he thought he was going to be the next big thing. And then the day we watch him, he runs to the wall in Shea Stadium and doesn't get up, right? So then I start telling her, look, I feel guilty all the time. I'm not there. Like, I love you, but you don't love me. And then she's like, listen, your dad, we might have to take you to the ER because we're worried about you. I'm like, you're a snitch. And so then I start sleeping and calling her a snitch every 5 minutes, right? And then I start raving. And like, while I'm sleeping, I'm raving. Dude, I woke up. I don't remember any of this. Like I go, hey,
this is only two Ambien?
Yeah. dude, too ambient. But my dad
said no alcohol, nothing else.
Dad said it might have been like it was 14 years old. The Ambien. So I think when you take pills that are 14 years old, you probably shouldn't.
You start acting like a 14 year old,
dude. So yeah, so that was sort of like she was worried. Like she was legitimately worried. My wife, like I may have, and then I started having like five different conversations about, listen, you know, I always want to have sex with you, but sometimes I'm on anxiety pills and I'm worried I won't be able to get hard. It's not you. I love you. And, which is not even, I mean, so that's never happened before. You.
How long can I stay muted?
All right. This guy complains
about drug abuse. Oh my God, bro. That's some like, you know, I mean, that's some amateur drug abuse stories, bro. You need to like figure out your drugs, dog. Like, if you're going to have a proper problem, you better have a better problem than calling your wife a snitch.
Oh, bro. Sorry. There wasn't a SWAT machine involved, a fucking SWAT thing. I wasn't hiding in Rampage's fucking hot tub.
Fuck down, bro. Tell your dad don't bust out no 14-year-old Ambien. Gotta be out proper, dog. Gotta go fucking straight banana psychotic where you don't even remember what fucking planet you're on. You know what I mean? You need to join the fucking Ferengi.
Dude, yeah.
What the hell? I know. Like, in your most vulnerable moment, you're asking Grock how hot your wife is? Fuck you.
On top of that, honestly, you guys, you don't realize that Grock is just a fucking code word for his waifu. He's got an internet waifu, bro. You're cheating your wife with a fucking robot. Bro, I didn't know you were a clanker sexual.
Dude, I woke up and I started looking at like our, what's it called again? Our chandelier. And I'm like,
how are you going to say you're looking at your wedding album?
And I'm like, I can see all different color lights. It's blue and there's red and there's orange and yellow. And then, dude, I was like, you don't love me.
Hey, so you're looking at a gay pride flag during this whole thing?
Bro, she was worried. I'm not going to lie. She was going to take me to the ER. Like when I started sleeping with my eyes open.
Luckily she didn't. They would have put you on a 72-hour psych hold or ice would have got your ass.
Oh, God. Sean, any suggestions other than this?
Yeah, two things. I suggest anyone who's married sleep with their eyes open, any man anyway. and then also, I would have thought your buddy Chris D'Elia taught you that anytime you mess around with anything 14 years old, you're going to have some problems.
Oh, man.
Dude, did I ever tell you when he confronted me about? Because like
about Diller, yo.
Yeah, like when he after all that happened, I was writing jokes. Like I was like, I didn't think he would see them. I was bored. It was like COVID, so I was like, you know, Chris D'Elia. I did a comedy show with him. He told me to light him at 15. You know, and then just, you know, Chris D'Elia has COVID 14. Like, dude. So then I run into him at a comedy club, and he's like, man, I was ready to kill myself and you were making jokes about me. And I'm like, bro, like what? First I was like, what about all the teenage girls? Don't they get a say in this? Right. And then he's like, that was a fucking lie. And it was CNN and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so then we started talking about it and he started opening up to me and I'm like, dude, we actually had like a full on, like a good conversation. And then I was like, and he's like, you were writing those corny jokes. I was like, bro, those were good jokes.
that was what you're most upset about. Like, wait, corny?
They're good jokes. It's hard to be famous. It's real hard to be famous.
I go, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then he was laughing. He was laughing about how good he was like, all right, fine. He's like, that's what you care about? I'm like, come on. I go, which one was bad? And I started bringing up the joke. And then
defending your joke?
I said, yeah, of course. I was like, and then it was like we had a long talk, and you know, dude, that guy is a very charismatic. Oh,
funny. He's a convincing sociopath. He's a convincing sociopath.
Very good.
Hey, says the guy who could play fucking 500 different characters convincingly. You fucking maniac.
Dude, Bill Dawes is seriously the best. He teaches an acting course.
I know.
He's seriously the best actor.
I accidentally passed him by while on TV. I was like, that guy looks familiar. And then click back and you're on Law and Order or some shit.
So the problem with Bill is he's too good of an actor, so he gets too many roles. So nobody just gives him one role. Like, if he was a working actor, he might actually book a recurring. But because he works all the time, it's like, oh,
Bill,
well.
Not anymore, buddy.
Bill, can I book you to play some of your more iconic characters on my podcast.
So Mayhem, over the weekend, you shot the Mayhem show.
Oh yeah, what was that like? So.
Oh, the solo dolo. No, bro, it was just a little bit of topical wackiness and some of my freestyling, like you guys see me on MMA Roasted. It was fun. It was fucking fun, bro. I want to book you guys as guests in the studio. Sean McCorkle, particularly. I think it has a lot of, like, there's a weird potential here for me to do something awesome. And you know what I mean? I got to get you guys face-to-face, and I think we could do some beautiful content creation.
Dude, here's how fucking fucked up McCorkle is. It was my friend Aldo's birthday, who loved McCorkle. Aldo's like a real renegade, best guy ever, one of my favorite people in the world. So I go, happy birthday, Aldo. He goes, oh, I wish I had a friend as old as Aldo. Unfortunately, my dad's dead. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, just he just has to ruin all the fucking. It has nothing to do with his dad dying. Like, he's just that guy to just bring up like a random rape joke in the middle of a wedding for no reason other than so he could like make himself laugh. He doesn't even repeat it to anybody. It's just his own stupid fucking. Okay. All right. Let's talk about a couple things. The Saudi Arabian Comedy Festival. Listen, as a person who performed in Saudi Arabia 4 years ago,
yeah,
I'm not the person that, like, I mean, what are we talking about here? Why are people mad that they're getting?
Bro, as a person who wants to perform in Saudi Arabia at some point, I just want to say, Allah Akbar!
Dude, like, first of all, there's like, UFC was in Saudi Arabia, right? Wasn't boxing in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Everybody's making, no, it's because old Billy Badass was talking shit about it so many times. Human rights abuses. You know, it's like, oh, bro, come on, take the bag. And he did.
Yeah.
That's why.
And all these
that's why. Everybody's, because he railed against them. You know what I mean? Watching some left-wing media. He railed against them. And then, yeah, at the end of the day, you take that check. His wife wants a swimming pool.
I mean, the only issue I have with that is, like, how much money do they have? Like if I, like, I actually need this money to go to
Saudi Arabia. Yeah, exactly.
I could really use that money. But if you, if you're Bill Burr and you already have, what, probably, like, $50 million in the bank? What do you think, Bill?
100? Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
$100 million?
I'd say 50 is fair.
You have 50 million, so that extra million for the shit that you're going to get, is it worth it? So we have to, you know what? I have to now go on iMovie, and anyway, so, all right.
I mean, wait, Adam, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
You're viral today.
How?
Scott Baio.
What happened?
Scott Baio was talking about how Cyrus on Gutfeld asked if he was still alive.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
But it's getting circulated now. It just came up in my feed and has like hundreds of thousands
like 16 million a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. That was
do you like that being linked to Scott Baio?
I love Scott Baio and I like Tyrus. You know, I mean, Scott, half of Scott's furniture is in my house because he gave it to me. Like,
can I have some of it?
Dude, he's for real. I mean, yeah. He's such a good dude, and like the family is such nice people. But if people knew how nice they actually were, they wouldn't shit on them. I mean, look,
there's plenty
of people out there that you don't like their politics, but then you meet them as people, and you're like, wow, this is great. And then there's people who you agree with their politics, and you're like, this is the worst human being I've ever met in my entire life. This person.
Yes, that's every liberal. I'm kidding.
So which one would you rather be? I mean, you know, McCorkle and Don Fry, Mayhem. Some people probably don't agree with their politics. These are actually good people that would do like
what? I don't have no politics, motherfucker. I'm a nihilist.
Yeah, people don't even know what your politics are because you're on Corolla every day.
What do you mean? No, I'm a maniac, bro. I honestly am insane. I can argue super hard one direction or the other, bro. There's something wrong with my... I'm like split down the middle. I can see it completely red. I can see it completely blue.
Same here, and that's the problem sometimes. Is that you're like...
Yeah, because then you wear your wife's panties if you're too blue. And then you have people set up if you're too red.
No, because you're making an argument, but then in my head, I'm making the counter argument. So it's almost
grappling,
like, But it's like sometimes when I'll make a tweet, I'll make a joke, the first thing I'll think of is the insult back to me that somebody could say. And that's a real shitty way of doing things, because you're not really creating art there. You're just like stopping yourself when you're being creative. You have to just not. Anyway.
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game. Okay. You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it, you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events, all right? They have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price, to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you don't like stuck behind a goalpost, or you're sitting in the parking lot, whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
So, Vanderlei Silva, Sean, you see this?
Yeah, unfortunately.
All right, Bill, you see what happened?
Yeah, awful.
So he had a boxing match against Aslino Freitas, who at one point was a world champion, great boxer. So he misses weight by 45 pounds, which I think he broke your record, Jason. 45 pounds. They still have the fight. Round three or four, he starts headbutting. And not even like little headbutts. He's jumping his head into this guy's head. So then they call the fight. A brawl breaks out. What I heard was it was Freitas' son that was hitting him from behind, like in the back of the head. And you can see Vanderlei sort of just like back up. And then out of nowhere, somebody fucking lands a perfect right hook. Like, or it might even a right cross, right on Vanderlei's face. He falls down like fucking timber. He's just laying there. People are fighting over him. And then his teammates are dragging him out like a dead corpse. I can't think of a worse way for a legend to have a fight, to go out at least, where you're misweight by 40 pounds, you're then cheating, and then you get knocked the fuck out by a guy who we don't even know if is a real boxer. And this is Vanderlei Silva. This was like the scariest man in the world at one point. And fuck, it was sad. Mayhem thoughts.
Dude, well, the thing about Vanderlei Silva is he was the scariest man in the world, but he did kind of have a pie plate for a head for like the longest time. Like, if you could touch his fucking head, it would fall off like a scarecrow. Okay, we knew that. So it's probably not the best fucking thing for him to be out there getting fucking sucker punched and then hit in the back of the head, wobbly, wobbly, and then again, right hooked with the fucking no glove right to the fucking, oh my God, orbital bone, right? By a dude in a dinner jacket. Like, man, that is not the way to end your career, getting corpse dragged out of there like a goddamn, bring out your dead, bring out, you're like a plague victim.
I mean, normally I would think you don't want to have another fight after that, but I feel like he has to have another fight now.
I feel like he should roll the dice and have like six more fights, I think. This is the beginning of his title run. That's what I'm thinking.
He should fight with the guy who knocked him out. I think that'd be a fight people would want to see.
God. I mean, so this was his face afterwards the next day.
Handsome as ever.
He looks like Money Bird.
I was going to say, is that his Tinder profile?
That was his eye was completely shut. Here, I'll show you guys better. Sean, thoughts about this?
I don't know. I think that we should get together. Me, Mayhem, and Vanderlei should get together on the same card because apparently we're never getting any of that UFC settlement money. I would have it July 15th, August 26th, September 1st, September 15th, September 22nd. And then a week ago, I was told no later than September 30th, no matter what. I would have my money. And
I'm sorry to hear that, but the Vanderlei Silva fight. Anything?
Yeah, I'm just sitting on the UFC's attorneys that are keeping the $375 million and taking the interest off of it, acting like they got to wait for a court to agree to, for them to give it to us.
No, it's terrible. The Vanderlei Silva, what are your thoughts?
So Vanderlei should stop fighting or stop getting knocked out at least. If he's going to fight, he shouldn't get sucker punched. Of course, it's really hard to prepare for a sucker punch in a boxing match. So when you're training.
I mean, is that your worst fear, like something like that happening to you?
My worst fear?
Yeah.
My worst fear is waking up and looking like Vanderlei Silva before he got
You're almost there.
I'm working on it.
I'm in my kid's playroom now because the people are like, this is from Russell Peters. Russell gave this to my kid.
What is it? What is it? A child indentured servant from Saudi
it's like,
Arabia?
It's like a slide, a treehouse. And, you know, it's crazy because I picked it up at what's-his-name's house. The guy, who's that guy that was
Scott
in?
Mayo.
Damn it. He beat me to it. That's what I was going to say.
I think it was the Turturro's brother. Is it, does Turturro have a brother that was on NYPD? What?
Yeah, Nick Turturro.
Yeah, Nick Turturro's house, who is literally his accent. You've never seen an Italian guy like Nick Turturro. Like Russell's like, hey, I got your kid a treehouse. I gave it to Nick Turturro, but it's too big for him. Can you get it? So I go over there. And he's got a kid who's like a rapper, some Asian kid that was like his friend that had like also a rapper, a YouTube star. And Nick's like, hey, you know, blah, 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 like straight out of like Goodfellas. And I'm fucking getting a child's kids out of his. It was like, I'm like, what fucking weird sitcom am I on right now?
What's even weirder is that it was too big for Nick Turturro to play on, but not your daughter.
And I got my Ben Askren shirt, which went to Ben Askren's health, which is also fucking crazy how a guy.
Oh, wait, but isn't it, you're wearing that shirt sideways?
Oh, God. What do you mean sideways? Because he was.
It should be him knocked out. Okay, sorry.
But Ben Askren, by the way, how did his health insurance not cover him? Like, he had health insurance. And then he gets something where he needs surgery, and they don't cover his surgery. Like, a guy like...
This is a memory trap.
What's that?
Here? Bro, that's how the system works. I'm going to get mad about this, so I'll just let you...
No, I honestly don't understand how a guy has health insurance, and he needs, like, what, a double... What did he need? Like, a double lung transplant or something? Some insane thing. And he pays insurance. He does everything right. And they don't cover him. Like that's insane. Like,
yeah.
I mean, McCorkle, you know a lot about that kind of stuff. How does that happen?
That's how they get rich. They take your money when you don't have any problems. They're not paying any of it back out. I deal with homeowners on homeowners insurance all the time. Their entire roof will be blown off, and they'll say it's wear and tear. Like Allstate will say it's wear and tear. And it's like, okay, well, they had a tornado here, so the people need like $100,000. Like, no. Don't know what to tell you. So that's why it's not necessarily a bad thing that certain people, their CEOs, get taught a lesson from time to time.
Oh, God, Sean.
In my opinion.
No, it is a bad thing because that guy is not the guy making the decision. But it's not up to him. And number two, that's not the way to – killing him is not going to do anything to change the system. And you're killing a guy who has a family and a kids. And
that's the way Israel would do it. So I'm all
no,
for
no,
it.
Look, this is not – Sean, what I will say is this, McCorkle is fuck you, fucking derail me, asshole. oh,
hey, I did have a joke. I got a great joke, and it's not like I don't think the Charlie Kirk thing's funny at all, nor would I make a joke about it. But I did have a joke about someone making a joke about it. Someone said that the whole Charlie Kirk thing reminds them, like the whole environment right now reminds them of the '60s, you know, in the United States. And I said, why? Because college-age kids are trying to kill Charlie.
That's a
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's a great joke. I don't know.
It's not a joke about Charlie Kirk or getting murdered. It's about Southeastern Asian Vietnamese getting murdered.
Of course, we get that, but most people are too stupid to. But that's good.
No topics are off limit. No topics are off limit. It's about who the punchline of the joke's about, really. That's the problem with so-and-so cancel culture, is they go, oh, you can't make a joke about this topic. And you're like, well, who's the victim of the joke? You know, like, what am I saying? I'm just you can't take away all topics. That's fucking insanity. It's like, are you going to take away all war movies and all movies about people unfortunately getting raped or murdered or killed? Like, what are we doing?
It reminds me of like the one day not long ago I saw an Asian guy running across the street real fast, and I just yelled out, "You die, GI!" like out of the window. Like, it's, you got to be able to make jokes like that,
dude. One of the funniest.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's horrible. One of the funniest. I can't tell if Sean is on or off his painkillers. One of the funniest these news stories. You ever had that news story, which was the plane crash was horrible in China, the Asian plane crash.
Oh my God! Yes, you should play that.
And he said something wrong. We too low. Holy shit! Like, dude, that my TikTok now is just people news stories of people fucking up. And being like, some guy going, hide your panties. And he's like, oh, I meant hide your pantries. Like, he's like, but what I was saying, Sean, dude, when that guy drove into my house, a fucking drunk driver 3 years ago drove into my house on the 4th of July. I hear, I come out. Some guy gets out. I go, are you all right? Black dude takes off running. I go, get down. The guy did not get down, right? And the guy didn't start dancing either, right? So then I look at his thing. He had like fireworks and all kinds of shit. I get my family out. My fucking garage is destroyed. Everything was like half my house was fucking destroyed. The insurance wouldn't cover it. Like literally, we're like getting back to my wife. We'll get back to you in a week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. So my wife tells me this. I'm like, all right, fuck this. I post a video of the news story of me being like, yeah, you know, that was my car. Well, I mean, that's my car. That was my car. I said, this company will not cover me. Like about 100 people start trashing the company. Within 5 minutes on a Saturday at 6 o'clock on a Saturday. Hey, man, listen, I dropped the ball on this. I'm really sorry. You'll have your money was in my account Monday morning. Like, but if I was, and I didn't.
How long from the time you posted it till action?
5 minutes. The guy got back to me on a Saturday, and the money was in Monday morning at like 8 o'clock in the morning. But 6 months before that, it was nothing. It was
the only power we have, huh? Is collectivism, like everybody getting in, not even a boycott. Like a mob of online terrorists is the only way to resolve anything these days.
Dude, if I didn't have that, whatever, 40,000 people follow me on Instagram, I would not even see them. It'd be 4,000,
3,000. Oh, yeah. Ask me about my knee after UFC. Ask me about a fucking pre-existing condition. Well, yeah, motherfucker, you knew all about it when I had me fight, but then you're the underwriter of the insurance and you're allowed to just deny me and end my career ostensibly. So fuck you and fuck your insurance company.
Dude, it's fucking... I remember your knee giving out against the Dalloway fight. Dude, that was the worst because you hurt him. You had him rocked. And so, Dalloway's not an easy
another fight. Fucking sad line to put on top of everything. Yeah, but whatevs, you know what I mean? Hey.
Oh, whatevs. Dalloway's not an easy guy to put away, bro. Like, Dalloway's.
Hey, Sean McCorkle's method is probably not the best way. I'll just say that.
What's McCorkle's method? And why do you keep fucking saying something and leaving the room and coming back?
Got back home. Listen. I love MMA Roasted with my whole heart. I love it. I love it with my whole heart. I love you guys. I'm so glad we do this. I'm so glad that I made myself do this. But, you know,
you guys should have to do it.
Not as big as it should be yet.
Nah, it's all good.
So, you know, I have to take odd jobs. I have to do some stuff. I have to drink my Hello Kitty coffee, you know.
All right. So Ronda Rousey says that she loves MMA again. Basically, and she's been training for 6 months, and people are saying she might come back. That's the
hey, I got it. Rio de Janeiro, Ronda Rousey versus Wanderlei Silva.
I think that Dana White is going to bust the biggest fucking nut if Ronda announces she's fighting on the White House card. Are you kidding
me? Which wouldn't be the first time that happened with those two together.
Oh, God. Dude, that's allegedly, no one ever, not even allegedly, that's McCorkley. So Ronda Rousey versus...
McCorkley, sorry, dude.
So Ronda Rousey, but now, you know, Matt Brown has the best MMA takes. Shout out to Matt Brown, because he just calls like he sees it. He doesn't give a fuck. If you want to know what's going to happen or the truth about fighting, follow Matt Brown. He gives it. He's on MMA Junkie. I think it's called The Fighter and the Writer. Him and Damon. And Matt Brown is just, he's like a miserable, happy guy where he just like, you never know he's happy. He never fucking smiles. He plays the guitar. He's like a fucking hick. He lives in the woods. He's just a fucking badass. Matt Brown's like, he's kind of like a younger version of Don Fry. You think he trained with Mark Coleman? Anyway, he says, according to him, Ronda Rousey is delusional because there's no one she's going to be able to beat in the UFC. He said maybe find somebody for her to beat. Maybe like, because that's women's MMA is still not as evolved as men's MMA, but you can't take 6 years off, 8 years off, come back and think all of a sudden I still have it. This is not.
Who gives a flying shit, bro? We don't care. Like, what are you talking about? It's Ronda Rousey. We're going to be all pumped and excited. Honestly, they should put some type of like anemic, like sort of a sickly drug addicted girl from the gutters. You know what I mean? Pull her straight down off of the strip club pole, right? Put a mouthpiece in her mouth that doesn't even fit. Wrap her hands, right? Take her fucking stripper shorts off. Put some fucking Venom trunks on. Get out there, hooker.
But I mean, what about Misha Tate? I mean, Ronda, Misha.
Well, that's exactly who I was talking about, bro. Why are you reading my mind?
Misha Tate, they're the like she beat her twice. They hate each other. Misha, it would be kind of good for.
She's hot. She's America's sweetheart, Misha Tate, bro.
She's like, a hottie. Really? People will be rooting for Misha because it would be like a redemption story for Misha, right? Where she finally gets to beat the girl.
From the time that she lost to Todd Bridges on fucking Big Brother.
Really?
I don't know. I think we're on the same season. I think it was with Screech or something.
Was it Big Brother? It was something, right? I think it was a Dance of the Stars. Listen, or...
All my pop culture has all been flash fried to me in the last 2 years. If you remember, I went away for a little bit, so I missed out on a bunch of stuff.
One of the saddest, fucking craziest days was seeing Todd Bridges beat up Vanilla Ice with Tank Abbott in his corner, in Vanilla Ice's corner on Celebrity Boxing.
Sad day. That is just a good Mad Lib.
And then it was on Celebrity Boxing, and I'm pretty sure it was the same card where Joey Buttafuoco fought Chyna, and just beat her with open hands and punches in boxing, and beat the shit out of. And then afterwards, Chyna was like, "Yeah, well, you need to come to my ring." And I'm like, "Your ring is scripted. Like, this was all fucking weird. Like, the whole thing was weird." But then Joey Buttafuoco got the shit beaten out of him by Amy Fisher's new boyfriend in another Celebrity Boxing. I think on the same card that Coolio got knocked out by the kid from Baywatch. But I digress. Misha Tate versus Ronda Rousey, I think, would be the fight to make on the White House lawn.
I'm going to go ahead and say Ronda Rousey, Gabba Garcia, open weight. You know what I'm saying? Let's see if she can.
Who wins, though? Who wins, Gabby? No. Who wins, though? Tate or versus Rousey if they fight again? Tate, right?
I mean, I don't know. You know, who's been training, more
often? I think my girlfriend, Kat Zingano.
That's another good fight. I mean, Kat Zingano. I'm saying bring back somebody like that. That's the way to do it. And make it don't make it the main event, but make it like the last fight on the prelims or the first fight of the pay-per-view. Because I think that's the way to do it. I think I think Misha's going to get a big payday. She'll want it. And Ronda, I'm sure, thinks she can still beat Misha. And maybe she's right. Maybe she just has that thing. Unfortunately, will it be like Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz 3? That was also the saddest.
It'll be action-packed for the first like minute or two. And then a slog. And then a sad ending.
Were you there?
Huh?
Were you at that thing?
I don't know.
It was Oscar De La Hoya promoted. I think you might have been away, but it was Oscar De La Hoya versus Chuck Liddell, and Tripoli was there. And Tripoli told me, everyone's like, yeah. And then they had a big camera, like a big screen of Chuck getting out of his car, and he could barely walk. And then everyone's just like, oh no. Everyone in the arena was collectively like, fuck. All right. So UFC Perth, did you guys watch UFC Perth?
I did.
Yeah, what did you think?
First of all, I like that Jimmy Crute guy.
Oh, dude, that was a fucking beatdown.
Do you see that choke by him?
Yeah, it was a bulldog choke, right? At one point?
I don't know if that's a bulldog choke. That's a choke I've never seen before. It was just like a straight up.
It was like an Iron Sheik. It was like a neck. It was basically, he got on top of him. It was a rear naked choke, but his forearms are so big. He just sort of yanked his head back, and the guy tapped.
It was a crank. It was a crank with his, yeah.
But I hate to say it, because you could still hear the announcers, Dominic Cruz, talking when it went away, and he goes, what the fuck was that? Like you could tell that they were like, wow, they went from, what a crook, that guy has such strength, to, how the fuck did he tap to that? Like, who is this guy?
You're talking about, he got him kind of in a, I didn't see it.
It was like a camel clutch.
Yeah,
that was crazy. I felt bad for Dominic Reyes. He got knocked out quick. He got knocked out quick by the Carlos Ilberg. There was one fight, Mayhem, that I wanted you to watch because it was Neil Magny versus the kid from Australia, Jake Matthews.
Oh, that was great.
And it was the end of the first round, and Matthews had him, I believe it was a guillotine, and then the ref lifted his hand up and he gave a thumbs up. But he gave a thumbs up at the same time he was going out. So the ref called it at 1 second left. And then they hear, and the guy's like, where did you stop the fight? So he stopped the fight and then restarted the fight in between. And then Magny went on to win the third after getting dominated the first two rounds. So now they're protesting it and they're trying to go back. But, I mean, if a guy gives a thumbs up and he goes out, but his thumb is still up, and he's okay 1 second later.
Well, did he sleep through the round?
No, he was up right away. I think he might have been going out.
Yeah.
But he wasn't out. And the
he wasn't out, I don't think.
He wasn't out. And then he said I wasn't out. But so the guy thinks he won. And then the come down, and then he dominates the second round. And then loses the third round. Damn. And I mean, what do you?
Yeah, that's just the way it shakes out sometimes. Hell, you know what I mean? And the referee, it can't be perfect. But you know what I mean? The situations that just has happened. It's the fight game. That's the way it goes.
I felt bad for Matthews. At the same time, you can't lose the third round. I mean, you lose the third round, you lose the third round. But and he tapped. It wasn't even like, but at the same time, like, fuck, you know, you hate to see a guy lose in that situation. This week, I watched the UFC countdown. The only problem is that it's all subtitled because you have Brazil versus Dagestan, and all the trainers speak either Portuguese or Dagestani. So there's a lot of reading involved. But I still don't see how Ankalaev. I think Ankalaev is too strong. I think he's got too many. I think the best thing for him was losing that fight with 1 second left to Paul Craig to show him that he was still human when he was up 10-8, because he's been unbeatable since then. But then the other guy, which, you know, they fucking do a good job of these countdowns, because the whole time I'm convinced that what's his name is going to win. The kid, the champion, Mursab, is going to win. Marab. I think Marab's going to win. And then I watch Corey Sandhagen, and I'm like, you know what? He could land a flying knee. This dude throws fucking weird shit. Another guy's short. So you got a short guy versus a guy who could fly.
Bro, what you're saying, that's on this card? Damn, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Rob going to wrestle. Fuck him, bud. As much of a wrestler as you are, you get a sweet boner for flying knees and shit. Buddy,
because they kept showing that Frankie Edgar knockout where Edgar just goes timber. And
I know, but shocking. It's like a, I don't know what you call that, like confirmation by, or no, I don't know. The fact that when it happens, and it happens rarely, it sticks in your mind.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. Shane Hagen is going to have to fend off wrestling and the cardio, you know.
But he knows that. But he knows that.
Right. Maybe you're right. Because I'm thinking, if I am coaching Shane Hagen, we have a lot of video on exactly what Marab does with this high crotch and exactly how he gets into it off of punches. So we know, because he does it. It's a habit that it's really good, where he does like a upper hook, a straight, and then into a high crotch. I'm thinking, if I'm coaching Sandhagen, there's some way we can exploit that entry to knock him out. Like, there's some way.
Trevor Whitman is a genius. Trevor Whitman's his coach. Hey, guys, it's
so maybe, yeah, maybe you could get it. But here's the problem. You have to clean that. And Sandhagen isn't like the most super developed wrestler, I don't think. Is he?
No,
he's not.
And so you
that's his weakness.
You have to, minutes, be super sharp on the takedown defense, you know? I think the other way is Sandhagen seems a bit bigger. So, okay, so it's entries into like a kickboxing, entries into clinch.
But Marab then, hurt, though, too. Henry hurt Marab. No. Henry almost had him out, or he rocked him.
Vulnerable.
He got rocked before.
Marab vulnerable to shots, bro. He's not unbeatable. It's just nobody has figured out how to weather that wrestling. Like, right. That's just how it is, you know? Like, he comes at you with like a Tasmanian kind of devil swarm, where it's hard to tell where he's going to shoot. And it's only one of two ways. He only shoots a single leg or a high crunch. A single leg or a high crunch. A single leg or a high. He just does single leg. High crunch. Like, it's pretty apparent what he's going to do. But, you know, how do they solve that riddle?
But is Sandhagen a better version or a worse version of Sean O'Malley, who Marab beat twice? I don't know. I don't know. All right. So
he's not the body shape of Sean, where he's a beanpole, where he's going to dish rag him. Sandhagen is more compact than Musclehead, you know? He'll be able to underhook. He'll be able to fend him off, but how long?
So some news stories that I found for Gutfeld this week, I thought we could talk about. All right. I wish Sean was there.
Me
so a guy says that, according to a new study, some men who use steroids say that one of the side effects is it turns them gay. That's what people are saying.
Big old cycle, and I'm meaning to tell you guys, I've been gooning this whole time.
I think you might already be gay, and it maybe brings it out. I don't think it turns you gay.
Listen, bro.
Yeah.
Did steroids, and I was in West Hollywood all weekend. You know what I mean?
So do you think that Bill, you've been around all the guys that are on steroids. Has it turned them gay?
I mean, look, all the gay people I know do steroids. Damn, he's straight as shit.
So
he should be gay as fuck right now.
Right. Mayhem, you've been around some guys that have been known to take steroids.
Look, it's crazy. It's like one person said that, or is that a study?
No, it's a study.
Is it a study, Adam, or is it one person who just told a story?
Listen, bro, I had homies that were such steroid monsters, okay? One guy has a phrase that sticks with me to this day, because he would take all these different substances, and he was from New York. He'd be like, oh shit, Mayhem, I'm hornier than a six-stick billy goat.
So, truth about how steroids are turning men gay. About wild sex and bedroom side effects, users are too afraid to admit. Some men who use steroids see the drugs come with an unexpected side effect, a sudden change in who they are sexually attracted to. Anabolic steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, used most often for gaining muscle. The use is illegal without a proper prescription. A small subset of male users are now reporting a change in sexuality. Why the fuck is Trenbolone Trenbolone turning me into a homosexual. One user contemplated whether he should fulfill his newfound gay fantasies and describe sexual urges after beginning.
This is well known, okay? Because here's the thing, is that there's some... The thing is everybody looks at sexuality as like this like rigid thing. Bro, there's people who will fuck a rattlesnake in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? And when they're horny enough. They're like, there's this thing where...
So anyway, a different a woman who identified as a lesbian said she began finding men more attractive. Oh, so it's turning lesbian straight though after taking testosterone. So that's I guess that's good for men if they want to get laid. Sexual oriented dopamine is a big one. All right, so that's one story.
It's hornier. It makes you a lot hornier.
Yeah. So I guess all right. So that
makes you hornier when you have testosterone, and the hornier you get, the more you want to fuck.
So all right, so Bill, that's what you're saying. So it's just about her being horny. All right, so this woman, okay, have you heard of her, Tess Holliday? Fuck, I wish Don Fry was here for this one. This woman named Tess Holliday. I don't know if you guys can see her. I don't think.
My really... brother yesterday. So I'm speaking to Mother's Earth, and I feel like if you're quiet when so many injustices are happening, not just here, but Palestine, Sudan, Congo, etc., then. I literally blocked my brother yesterday. I'm not speaking to my mom, my stepmom, my dad. I'm collecting them like Pokemon. I'm like, who can I block next? And it stinks, but I just think that...
She also blocked her arteries.
Yeah, wait. Is this... Oh, so Grimace transition.
Yeah, she's a body positive activist. Said she's blocked her whole family. Because they're quiet about Palestine, Congo, and Sudan. Maybe she's sitting on them and she can't hear them. She goes, I literally blocked my brother yesterday. I'm not.
Wait. This Baruch Assault ate the blueberry or what?
Yes. Baruch. I don't know who Baruch Assault is.
Good Bill, reference. That's a Charlie and Chocolate Factory. Nice.
Oh, that's what happened. Bill, I mean, what do you think? Are you worried about her blocking people? Maybe an exit if there's a fire or something. But
yeah, the only block she's got to worry about is her intestinal blocks.
Well, she's fucking Gaza with that size. Look at how large.
Why are obese people always the biggest activists?
But they're not active.
They can't be activists, so they're activists.
Don Lemon said that something is broken inside white men. Probably he's right. His boner.
Yeah, his dick inside their ass. Exactly.
So then, The View. People are upset about Bad Bunny because he's a Trump-hating rapper doing the halftime show.
He hates Trump.
I have no problem with Bad Bunny. I just hope a thing where, like, I heard none of his songs are in English. That might just be a bad booking, considering that most of the people in the crowd don't speak Spanish. Or watching it don't speak Spanish, why would you book someone who doesn't perform in English? That's my only that.
Because like, bro, NFL trying to get that Mexican money, trying to get those pesos, dog.
Is that what's going? Why would you, Bill? Your thoughts about
this? Trying to be open to every culture and get every dollar that they can, eyeballs on the Super Bowl. You know, I think, and this guy is like legitimately a pop star. Like that shit is on the radio nonstop. This guy has just owned pop culture for like 2 years. There's hours.
Yeah, this is a bunch of like white people in a board meeting who ran numbers and were like, this will help. They'll help NFL in South America and Central America. I guarantee you.
He says all of his punchlines in simple Spanish that I can sing.
All right. So Bonnie Blue, she's the porn star that banged 2,000 guys in 24 hours.
1,998. Let me tell you, bro, that was a hack, dog.
She's getting divorced.
Out of here, bro. There's no way.
Oh, she's getting divorced. Why?
There's no way I can do it again.
They said they grew apart. I guess she wanted to see 7,000 other people. I don't know. But maybe he thought she was cheating, but I didn't know she was married. I guess after, you know, I think 6,000 was the limit, you know, like if you fuck 6,000 other men.
Yeah.
But Bonnie Blue is getting divorced. And finally an ER doctor, went viral.
How are they going to split that butter fortune?
I guess there are too big of holes in the relationship. An ER doctor has gone viral for saying that he once had to remove a large candle from a guy's asshole. That was in the news. I don't know.
Well, look, I mean, the good thing about that is that it can't go viral. It's just wax.
Vinyl or viral? Yeah. I guess the guy's...
Why is that going viral? That is like the most... That is the tamest thing to put up someone's asshole.
But now,
bro, there's been much worse things found as people's assholes.
I want to see a Perrier bottle that has broken inside an asshole.
Man, what's the craziest thing you've ever had up your asshole?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, you, obviously.
It was a hairy situation. Bill, what about you? Bill, you ever have a girl put something?
Oh, my God. Greatest thing I've ever had. No, but my brother was an ER doctor, and he would tell me all sorts of ass stories.
What did he say?
I mean, people will literally, if it can fit an ass, it's been there.
What did your brother pull out?
I mean, you name it. All sorts of lengths. I mean, every fruit and vegetable you could possibly imagine. It's like a whole farmer's garden up in people's assholes.
And I'd be in that cold.
So Bruce Buffer? No.
Yeah, I mean, I got to ask him a bit, but I mean, he told me, I was like, what the, like, just all sorts of tools and keys and remote controls and you name it. Animal that's under like a foot long.
Really? We got to get him on the show for like 10 minutes.
Here, man. And I worked at, I told you, it's well known that I worked at Spanky's porno store for two nights, right? And the second night, I was like, yo, dude, who on earth, what kind of lady gets this traffic cone and puts it up there? And he's like, he looked at me dead in the face and he goes, Jason, women don't buy these things.
Oh, wow. But first of all, it was not well known that you worked at Spanky's porno store. Like, as if everyone knows you worked at Spanky's
porno. That young mayhem bite shorts. I had a patch that said Spanky's porno.
Are you serious? Where was Spanky's porno store?
On Harbor Boulevard down there in Orange County. Okay, in the hood. Bro, I worked there for three nights. It was a fucking rough.
So you moved to Orange County, you're looking for a job, and you walk into Spanky's porno store?
Ah, bro. They sponsored Team Punishment. Tito Ortiz was friends with these guys that, like, owned porno stores. And that, like, it was back in the day when no internet. So I had to, like, put away, like, lube-covered videotapes. Yeah, and I worked the night shift from midnight to 8 in the morning, right? Oh, my God. And my girlfriend snored like a god maniac. You know, I'm like 20 years old trying to make it as a prize fighter, and I got to work at the porno store, come home, okay? The girl's like doing crazy like palate problems, right? Snorting like that. And then in my mind, all I see is gaping assholes and faces covered in cum. Bro, those are the roughest three nights of my life. I quit.
Are there any pictures of you with Spanky's porno stores on your shorts?
100% somewhere, yeah.
Can you please send me one?
Queen dog to find it and put it right here.
Oh, my God. That is the...
Love that you said prize fighter. Isn't that a term for, like, the 50s?
Yeah. Like Jack Johnson.
Did you have to rewind the VHSs that were...
Buddy, yes. And they're a lube-covered, dog. They had them back. They had lube on them. It was nasty, dog. And then I'm sure it was disgusting, bro. And they just, you know, you don't really. And nowadays, it's kind of normal for you to have like pornography access, right? But me looking at all these gaping buttholes was just not indicative and conducive to a good relationship.
Why, out of all the people on Team Punishment, did they have you work at
Spanky's porno store? No, I wasn't the only one who did it. Other people, they could not keep somebody working at a job. It was the worst job. No, I wasn't the hey. And then, by the way, one of like my manager was like, "Hey, man, if the owner of Spanky's asked you to jerk off for $500 on video, probably don't do it." Okay. I was like, "You should have asked me, like, maybe." You can do it if you want, but you don't have to. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Oh my God. Is that where Tito met Jenna? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think there was some kind of
connection. I mean, Spanky, so where do you think you got the name from?
By the way, Jenna looks great right now. She's really come around. She's doing very well in her life. So shout out to Jenna Jameson. Bill Dawes, what do you have coming up?
Great.
Nothing. just shows around, nothing special.
All right. Any place anyone can see you or?
Yeah, I'll be a House of Comedy in Minneapolis Thursday, and then Long Beach Laugh Factory Friday, and you know.
Nice. You going there for one day?
Yeah, it's just one show. It's one off.
Oh, nice. Who are you with? Mario?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mayhem, what do you got?
Oh, I'm waiting for you guys to book me on something. I got a tight five. I yell at the audience.
You want to do a dime tonight?
All right.
I will be at the Laugh It Up Comedy Club in Poughkeepsie, New York this Saturday night. And then next Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the First Amendment Brouhaha Comedy Club in Kansas City. And then at the Edge Lounge, October 15th to the 18th in Laughlin, Nevada. Followed by Naples, October 24th to 26th at the Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida. And then the Covina Laugh Factory, Saturday 1st. And then I'll be at Spanky's Porno Shop doing a meet and greet.
They have show in your fucking thing right now, bro. Yeah,
make sure you have a huge gap in your ass full of gear.
Adam, will you link the Mayhem show on the MMA Roasted?
1,000% we'll do that.
Cool.
Of course. Well, thank you guys. Take care, guys. Thanks for the laughs. Bye-bye.